Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, indeed. I just love the Lord. Hope everyone's doing well. For those that I haven't said Happy New Year to, Happy New Year. Really excited about what the Lord's doing. There's so much going on, but you know, even with no matter what comes against us or what we're facing, you know, God's still in control. And that's where we're putting our faith. We've got this new year, this new exciting time. I always call it a new season. So if we get started here, I'm going to ask y'all as we go into this, stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Good to see a lot of y'all tonight. Don't normally feel this. Some of you on Wednesday nights, I thank you for joining us. It's a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Praise the Lord. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request? Absolutely, Sister Splendor. We'll definitely keep you in our prayers. We know a healing. We know the healer, don't we? Because he's the creator. Amen. Brother Don? Absolutely. God knows, though, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Anyone else, congregation?
Brother Chris in the back.
You got it. You got it. Start whistle at me. Go ahead, Brother Chris. Gabe, absolutely. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. We'll keep Gabe in our prayers. Anyone up here?
Yeah, Brother Trey's having some ear pain too.
I was going to say it. Praise God. Prayers are answered. Get answered. I know that. Well, this also, if you have an unspoken prayer request, let's show by the raise of our hand. I know I sound like I'm taking it lightly, but I'm really not. I really believe that if we lift up the Lord, our needs and our situations, our everything that we've got, and put it into His mighty hands. And y'all want to pray with me and believe in for these spoken and unspoken prayer requests tonight. Let's all just pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, we just love you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we just want to praise your holy name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, in this service, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, we just want to praise you. Dear Lord, we want to lift you up. We want to honor you in each and everything that we do. Lord, please receive, dear Lord, our worship. And dear Lord, we just know that how much we love you. Dear Lord, now as we gather together, and Lord, as we do, we took prayer requests, dear Lord, and you know each and every need before it's ever spoken. Lord, you know those spoken and unspoken, dear Lord, and we ask you just to touch them now. Dear Lord, as we pray for those, and dear Lord, I'm going to call a few names, dear Lord, if I miss any. Lord God, you know which ones they are. We're going to pray for Brother Gabe, for Brother Trey. Dear Lord, we're going to pray for Sister Linda, as we've already prayed for her, but dear Lord, in unity, because dear Lord, we believe, Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, that you will join us. And, the Lord, we just love and praise you, Lord, for Brother Don's neighbor, Lord, for all the other prayer requests that's been brought forth. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for those that are healed. We thank you for those that have joined us tonight. Lord, we pray for those that aren't able to be with us, whether they're sick and shut in, a nursing home, assisted living, dear Lord, or in the hospitals or recovering from surgeries. Lord, we know that you know each and every personal need, dear Lord, and for each and every hand that was raised. But, dear Lord, we're just placing it in your hands, and we're giving you all the honor and all the glory, and we're thanking you for that healing. And it's in the name of Jesus, the most powerful name of all, that we pray. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap for praise. Praise God, praise God. We're going to do a song tonight that I don't normally do on Wednesday nights. I'm going to ask you to turn to page 92, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Praise God. By faith we know. Amen. Once was lost in sin.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then the light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Amen. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my dress is clear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Amen.
Our faintest cry, He'll answer by and by. Every little prayer we're turning, no little fire is burning. A little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes are filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer, He knows my every care, and just talk with Jesus makes it right.
Yes, it does.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. A little prayer will turn in. Know a little fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our trouble. Have a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
One more time.
Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turning. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Hey,
all right. All right. All right. All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right, all right, all right, all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes, it does. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. I know as we came in tonight and the prayer request and the needs, and I know the text blast has been going forth, there's so many that need of prayer right now, but you know, we shouldn't just go to the Lord, and I'm gonna preach to all of us. We shouldn't just go to Him when we need some. We shouldn't wait until it's just poured on our head or a situation come forth or you open that envelope in the mail and something happens. We shouldn't wait when we get that sickness or when a doctor gives a diagnosis or when we feel that pain and we're concerned, and it, you know, the way things are now, you can look up a pain and it's gonna give you about 10 different things that's wrong with you. But we know God really knows what's wrong with us. In the name of Jesus, we can go to Him. So our prayer life, that conversation, is no different than us talking with our spouse, with our children, with our grandchildren. We need to have that line of communication open and let them know about Jesus as well. But we need it for ourselves. We need to have that time that we can just seek the Lord. Find you a spot if you hadn't already. You know, people are always making New Year's resolutions or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And, you know, if that's fine and dandy. But if you really want to have something that will really start this new year off with a bang and get that conversation going with Jesus, get in the Bible, get in the prayer room. Have you a little prayer corner somewhere that you can just release it all to the Lord. It doesn't take a lot. And for those of us that are driving on I-20, I know most of us pray all the way to work and all the way back. But we just want to continue that conversation. Then He knows already. He just wants us to come to Him. Praise God. That was free. Praise the Lord. I just love the Lord this evening. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. And Brother Thomas, if you don't mind, bless our offering. Yes, Lord. Amen. Jim, if you would. Thank you.
Isn't it good to be in God's house? In the middle of the week. Ain't that something? It's not Sunday. In the middle of the week. Such a blessing to be here. On my way coming in, I pass a lot of these businesses and restaurants and everything, and I said to myself, you know, looks like somebody would take one day out of the week, in the middle of the week, make an exception. But you know what? I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're here. Hope you enjoy this song.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found a friend so kind and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could ever do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
How much does He care for all of us? Not just me, but all of us. Amen.
And there's no way that we can adequately describe how much the Lord loves us and how much He cares for us. Beautiful, beautiful song. Good job, Brother Jim. Brother Chris, outstanding on the piano, too. That was beautiful. Good job. All right. Hey, brother, that's a good band. There's a little song that's been over in my mind. It's one my granddaddy used to sing a lot. It goes all the way back to the Rockmart Church, and then I got to thinking about my granddad, and I figured it up. This March will be 37 years since he went home to be with the Lord, and it does not seem like it's been that long ago. But there's probably hadn't been a day or a week. I know there hadn't been a church service that has gone by that I hadn't thought of him, because his portrait is right there on the wall, right in my study, and I can still see those facial features. But this is a song he loved to sing. I told you he likes two kind of songs. He likes good old fast ones and fast old good ones. But this was just kind of a chorus. This simply. Let's. Let's go on and on talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on talking about the Lord. It's easy. Let's go on. On and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord. There's joy and peace and happiness in talking about this good old way. Joy and peace and happiness in talking about the Lord. So let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord. Well, the devil doesn't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil doesn't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on. I think you know the words now, so sing it with me. Well, let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord. One more time. Let's go on and on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on and on, talking about the Lord. And Brother Bailey would stand right about here, and this is the way he praised the Lord, on his toes, like this. He'd be clapping and praising the Lord. Just thank you for allowing me to go back in history a little bit, down memory lane. It's always good to think of our precious loved ones who's already gone home to glory. Amen. Well, in case you haven't noticed, the sign outside is out. Evidently, it thought that the end of 2022, the rapture was going to take place, and it didn't want to. It just went out. But it has to be reprogrammed to understand that it's not a power failure, it's not a shortage or anything, or bulbs out. But Brother Kevin Parks is really, really good at reprogramming that, so I didn't realize it was out. So we'll get with him and get the sign back on, amen, and let that thing shine for Jesus till Jesus comes. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Ephesians. Let's revisit a wonderful passage of Scripture tonight. It is so good to see you here tonight. We appreciate. Give yourself a hand. Y'all done good being here in the house of the Lord tonight. So good to see you. Hope you all are having a wonderful, glorious 2023. Have you got used to writing that on your check yet? If you're having trouble with it, leave it blank. Just wreck it to cash, and I'll finish the rest of it. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse number 12, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. Everybody say, the church at Ephesus. Everybody say, my church. How many knows we're part of the same church? Amen. We're part of the body of Christ. Paul writes, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Say that with me. Ye be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your precious written word. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would just anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay, God, to speak that you would have us to hear. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those who've gathered here tonight. And I pray, God, you just open up the window of heaven tonight and pour out your blessings and your anointing upon this congregation. God, also reach out to those who stand in need of prayer tonight. Many are sick and afflicted. God, many are home and praying. God, that you would just reach out to them and touch them and strengthen them and anoint them. Now, just have your will and way, and God, we'll look to you. Give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, if I had a lesson message or a title, it would simply be Learning to Stand. Learning to Stand. You know, as the Lord was leading me in this particular passage of Scripture, I thought about the song. There's a song we sing it here sometimes. It says, Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dream. Learning to lean on the Lord. And evidently, the church at Ephesus was kind of like our church. They had gotten that part down pretty good. We have learned to lean on the Lord. Over the years of trials and situations and problems and issues that face us, we've learned that we don't have to fight them alone, do we? Amen. We got a power, and we got that love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we got his promise. It says, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way. That means not only through the good times, but the bad times as well, the mountains and the valleys, the peaks and all the other things that go along with this life that we have. So we as a church, we as individuals, we as Christians, I think, have pretty much learned and got hold of the grip that we can lean on Jesus. We can lean on Jesus when we can't lean on anybody else. How many knows that he won't fail you? Amen. He'll always be there for you and be there with you. He'll help you through any problem, any situation. He's the healer of our body. David said he's the lifter up of my head. And he is that constant abode. That means he doesn't leave us, and we always have that ability to have him with us. So I thought that as the church there at Ephesus, evidently they had learned to lean on the Lord during trouble, learned to lean on the Lord during issues that may arise. But the Apostle Paul saw it beneficial that he went a little deeper with them and told them, now you need to learn how to stand. We know how to lean on the Lord, and we know that he's going to be there for us. Then we also know that he has equipped us. Say that with me tonight. He has equipped us. And he knows that he said he gave us power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We have the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was on this earth. And he walked around the Sea of Galilee. And he cast out demons, and he healed the sick, he opened the blinded eyes, he made the dumb to talk. He did all of these wonderful teachings and anointings and healings and blessings. And he says, I won't leave you comfortless, but I will in fact leave a comforter or send a comforter in my name. And that comforter will help you, and that comforter will equip you. So we find that the Apostle Paul, if you go back into the fifth chapter, in fact, the entire book of Ephesians, is a guidebook and a teaching tool to the church at Ephesus. It was a newly formed church. It wasn't an old established church. It was full of new converts and new Christians, many who had been brought up in the strict Jewish laws and the laws of Moses. And this was new to them as Paul began to preach the crucifixion of Christ, the Son of God, who came and died for our sins and that we could be filled with His Spirit. And many were converted, many were baptized, but they were young. They were immature in walking and depending on the Lord. So he was leading them and guiding them. And if you go walk back and look at it, first of all, he began to tell them or teach them how to walk in love, therefore walking in Christ. When you're newborn, the old man is gone away. The old creature is gone away. We have in fact become a new creature. And we walk differently. We look differently. We act differently. We even talk differently. So he's teaching them prior to this how to walk in love. And if you're walking in love, you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord. He's also began to instruct them to be not overcome with the sins of the world. They're still in the church of Ephesians, or the church of Ephesus. There was sin. In fact, rapid sin. There was a lot of things going on, and Paul in the fifth chapter begins to mention some of it. But he tells the church, the new converts, the newly born Christians, don't be involved in the things of the world. Be apart from that. Don't let those possess you, or don't let them persuade you to do the things, because you're not that way anymore. You've been brought out. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So he's teaching them not to be overcome with the sins and the iniquities of the world. How many knows that's still a good lesson to learn today? I mean, even though we're born again, even though we've been saved for many, many years, it's still good to know that there's things out in the world that we don't need to take part of. There's things in the world that we should shun and not accept, amen, as biblical or as a Christian walk with the Lord. Same thing that was happening in the church of Ephesus. And then he goes on to tell also, and this is very important, he says, let no man deceive you. He knows if anybody, though an angel of light come teaching or preaching anything opposed or opposite of what the apostles preach, the Bible says, let him be a lie. So don't be swayed. Don't be deceived by the alluring of enticing words or enticing ministries or enticing religions or different ways of, if it's not backed up by the Word of God, then we need no part of it. And you got to understand, this was not an established church. This was not a church that was full of seasoned saints and people who had been walking and fighting victories or fighting battles and receiving victory for years and years and years. And how many know that if every one of those victories that you've won has made you stronger? If you believe that, give the Lord praise tonight. We didn't like it. It wasn't comfortable. We didn't enjoy it when it was going through those trials. But I will assure you, and I believe you know it too, it has made you stronger. It has strengthened your faith. This was not the case with the church at Ephesus, a new church, a newly established church full of young, and I'm not meaning actual age, but young Christians, people who had not received the Spirit of the Lord for a number of years. So he said, let no man deceive you. And then he was encouraging them to practice the fruits of the Spirit. Incorporate them into your life. You know, I've often said that if anybody couldn't see anything about us other than our face, they ought to be able to recognize that we're born again Christian. It ought to glow. Amen. There ought to be such a pleasant look on our face, even through adversity, even through trials, even through hardships. There is something to be said about if we know where our soul is going to spend eternity, if we know that we've been born again, if we know that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, it ought to show on our face. If nothing else, we ought to have the biggest smile that there is as we walk for the Lord and let the light of Jesus shine in our life. So you should practice the fruits of the Spirit. Be good to one another. Have gentleness, have meekness, have joy, and all of these wonderful things of the fruit of the Spirit. Practice them. Not just read about them, but incorporate them into your lives. And then he says something, and I think the Pentecostal movement has done pretty good in this next one that I'm about to say. How many knows that there's a couple of things that Pentecostals like to do? Eat, and we like to worship the Lord. We like to sing, don't we? Amen. We like to praise the Lord, don't we? Amen. We don't care. We want to get emotional praising the Lord because we're singing things that we feel. We're singing joy and praise unto the Lord. And it's all right to clap your hands in a Pentecostal church. It's all right to stomp your foot if you want to. It's all right to stand up and praise the Lord. So he tells them to learn the hymns and psalms and recite them and sing them and give thanks unto the Lord. You know, sometimes you can sing the blues away. Not by singing the blues, but singing the gospel song. Come on, how many of you, just by a show of hands, have actually had a day when things are not going real, real good, stressful in all these situations, then the song comes on the radio or the CD or something, you begin to singing with it, and all of a sudden you're getting uplifted by it. And there's a ministry in singing. There's a ministry in gospel music in it, and it lifts the spirits and causes us to get our mind off of our problems and troubles and on the Lord. So, and here he talks about singing to yourselves in hymns and psalms, making melody unto the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful phrase that the Apostle Paul used to tell the newly converted Christians? These are things you can do to lift your spirit. And then he goes on, and then he begins to address the family unit. He begins to tell about the children, obey your parents, and he tells about the parents to be good to your children and not abuse them and all of those. Those are wonderful instructions. And if you know of this, he's feeding them kind of elementary things. But again, the Church of Ephesus, recite with me, was not a well-established church. It was a young church. It was full of young converts. It was full of newly born Christians. So this may seem elementary to a seasoned saint. But you know what? It's all right every once in a while to go back to the elementary things of the Word and recite them into our heart and live by them. So he said, he began to give lessons on the family unit. And then he says, basically begins to tell them how to conduct yourselves in the business world. He even tells you servants, or in other words, we won't call them servants today. We'll call them employees. Okay? That's about as close to a servant as I can find. But he tells the servants to be good to your masters and work for them for an honest day's pay and all of that kind of thing. So he's addressed all of these things, some spiritual, some practical, and some even according to the relationships in the family. And then he says this in verse number 10. If you want to turn over there with me, in the 6th chapter, in verse number 10. Finally. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he goes on to be more specific because he begins to then identify the wiles of the devil, the way that Satan moves and the way that Satan operates. And we need to be aware of that too. We need to be aware that Satan's not going to show up in a red union suit with horns on his head and a pitchfork. I don't think. I've never seen him like that. But he will transform himself almost as an angel of light. He will come with very alluring words, with enticing suggestions. And, you know, here's something he likes to use. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see. And after all, even if they do, it's none of their business between you and God. And he always uses those things. So basically, after he has equipped them, he begins to warn them. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your brother, your sister, your person that's in the congregation, that's not your enemy. Brother Jim mentioned I-20. Some of them seem like our enemy, don't they? Isn't it frustrating sometimes? But we don't wrestle against that flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and I ought to get an amen there. We are seeing wickedness in high places. He used to wonder about what in the world they're talking about, but now I think I know precisely what he was talking about. Those that are in power, those that may be in power, and those that may use their power for ill gain. So we see all of this, but he also follows that up with verse number 13. So he says, wherefore, everybody say, wherefore. In that words, what that means is, that don't mean you don't have any hope. That doesn't mean you don't have any recourse. That doesn't mean you don't have a power in the name of the Lord that you can combat these things that are going to come against you. So it's good that he warned them, but it's also good that he told them how to be prepared for the spiritual wickedness, how to be prepared for the onslaught of the many things that the devil will hurl at us on a daily basis sometimes. Sometimes we think he ain't bothering nobody else this week but me. Now, can I just get a nod if you've ever thought that? He ain't got time to worry than nobody else because he's been on my case 24-7 for the last couple of weeks. But you know what? He has that ability to come at all of us at different times in different situations. And isn't it uncanny how he comes when we seem to be at our weakest point, when we seem to be at our most tired, whether it be spiritually tiredness or physical tiredness, and Satan shows up. And you know what? Don't think that you're the Lone Ranger. Because as soon as Jesus went into the wilderness, he was on his case. Satan came, enticing him, first with hunger, then with power, and then with all of these other things. And Jesus, you know what Jesus fought him with? The Scripture, with the Word of God. You know, if you don't know anything else to say to the devil, get your Bible out and just start reading. He don't like that. Fact, he's probably going to run from it. So he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Say that with me. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now listen to this. There is a comma there. That's very important. Because after that, he says, and having done all, another comma, to stand. And I thought about that, and we have read that, and I have read that, and I preached on that, but Paul has just assured the church that you are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens you. Now, we said the church at Ephesus is just like us. We're just part of the family of God. We've been born again. We've been saved. The Spirit of the Lord rests in us. So we, the church, we ourselves are more than conquerors through Christ. That means we got the victory. That means with Jesus all things are possible. So we lean on him, certainly. We trust in him. We have faith in him. But we also got to believe that he has equipped us. Then problems comes our way. We need to learn to stand. Now the Amplified Version says stand means to hold your ground. Hold your ground. And I think sometimes we don't hold our ground. Sometimes we digress a little. Sometimes we withdraw into whatever, fearfulness, stress, questioning. Questioning, does God even love us? Questioning, is God even real in our lives? Can God heal? Can God deliver? Can God open doors? And we know that he can because we've seen and witnessed it before. So I want us to, as a church, I want us as an individual, I want me as myself to learn to stand for the Lord as well as I have learned to lean on him. Because I think I've got that part right. I think I know how to lean on him. Because I lean on him a lot. I'm not going to ask you for a witness or a testimony, but that's between you and the Lord. But I constantly find myself leaning on him. But when the Scripture began to illuminate in my life, and when I began to go back and read the preceding Scriptures that Paul was getting them ready, amen, because they were young, they were going to have battles. He knew they were. He knew they were going to have problems. We knew they were going to have sickness. He knew that there'd be some discouraging times, but he didn't want them just to be a bunch of leaners. He wanted them to be able to stand strong. And to be able to stand strong is not in my power. It's not in the power of the church. But it's in the power of the armor that God has equipped every born-again Christian with. You have the armor. Can you say, praise the Lord? You want to make the devil mad? Say, I have the armor. But you got to put on the whole armor. Because he said, having done all. Now, I want you to watch this with me and see if this doesn't strike you. If God is speaking to Paul, and I believe he was, I believe Paul was under the anointing of God. God used Paul in a miraculous way. Remember when he struck him down on the road to Damascus, he was saying, you know, I have made this a messenger to the Gentiles. And he was very instrumental in starting churches. But if this is God's word speaking through Paul, then God might have said this. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and after I have done all, stand. But there's no I in there. The having done all, to me, in my lame way of understanding, means that the individual needs to have done all that they can do. Not in our power, not in our might, but in the armor that God has prepared for us. You see, the devil don't want us to know that we are strong in the Lord. The devil doesn't want you to know that you got faith to believe that all things are possible. The devil doesn't want you to know that you got an armor, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt with the truth, all of those equipment things, the shield of faith, all of that. We didn't get that all just to look pretty. We got that to do battle. We are dressed. We are trained. We are equipped to fight off the fiery darts that Satan continuously throws at the church and individuals on a daily basis. And every one of us ought to say, amen, brother. Because he's constantly doing that. The Apostle Paul says, having done all to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. In other words, stand this way or stand thusly. You got to have your loins girt with truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. His Word. His spoken Word. How many knows the Word was here ever before the printing press was invented? Man, we have this, and thank God that we do have the printed Word, but the Word's been around a lot longer than it was ever penned on paper. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the Lord's righteousness. You know, we often make the statement, I'm just a nobody. That's not really true. We're a chosen, the Bible says peculiar. You don't think you're chosen, certainly you think you're peculiar. But peculiar doesn't mean weird. It doesn't mean goofy. It means that we are special. We're the, and all of the little things in the world, we are the church of the Lord, the ones that are born again, the Christians. We are peculiar. That means that we are special in the eyes of the Lord. So it's not that we're bragging on ourselves by any means, because we know what the Bible says about our righteousness. It's just filthy rags. But it's not our righteousness that causes us to be strong. It's not our righteousness that causes us to be saved. It's not our righteousness that causes us to be holy. It's the righteousness of the Lord by His overwhelming and amazing grace that He loved us so much that He died for us, that He equipped us not only with salvation, but gave us power and strength and might. What was the scripture? Be strong in the Lord in the power of my might? No. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. So he's convincing the church at Ephesus that you can stand. And what do we say? I can't stand in the Lord. Yes, you can. In the power of His might. I can't take it no more. Yes, you can. In the power of His might. I've done all I can do. Really? This is where it hit me. Because I want to revert to that learning to lean. But God has given me power to stand. God has given me power to fight back against the wiles of the devil. Not just me, but every born-again Christian. He's given us that power, and we need to learn to use that. We need to use the authority of the name of Jesus. If you can't pray a long and eloquent prayer, that's all right. God don't care. But Satan will certainly turn around and run if you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. He can't stay. He don't care about my name. He don't care about your name. He don't care about First Pentecostal Church. That don't strike fear in him. But you begin to call on the name of Jesus, and the devil will have to flee from you. That's the Bible. Amen. So we need to be able to understand that we are having our breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, who was it that coined the phrase, speak softly and carry a big stick? One of the presidents. Some of you history buffs might know that. It was one of the presidents. I forgot which one it was. Roosevelt? Okay, I'll take your word for it. But the president said, speak softly and carry a big stick. What does he mean? Be kind, live as peace, as much as peace as you possibly can. But when Satan comes and knocking at your door, you got a big stick. And if that don't scare him, you got an axe and 238s. Amen? All right. That'll put fear in the devil. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, everybody's saying, really most importantly, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. We've talked about this, and we're not going to go into a long study of the armor, but that's a good thing to have. I mean, you could study a week, Brother Don, a month, just taking it each weapon and each piece of the armor and just go over it, because it is so great. It's so wonderful. Many wonderful men of God who are a lot more learning than I have spent a lot of time teaching on the power of the shield and the armor and all of those things. But let me tell you something about it. The helmet goes on the head, right? Together. And the breastplate of righteousness goes, I guess, over the chest. You know, protecting the vitals. God with the gospel of peace. But the shield is something different. It's mobile. Remember seeing the shield? The shield will not only protect you from things that are coming, but it'll also protect you from the arrows that are flying high, because you can move that shield where the arrows are coming. And I've even seen in some, back with the shield. We need to learn how to use the shield of faith. The faith of the power, faith in the power of the Lord will work against the fiery darts of Satan. And the fiery darts are a number of different things. It's not always those piercing projectiles. Sometimes it's sickness, it's affliction, it's discouragement, it's stress, it's anxiety. He's got a number of weapons that he throws against us. But I will assure you, the shield of faith is able to ward off any of those things. But we got to learn how to use it. So above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench 50% of all the fiery darts. Most of all the fiery darts. All the fiery darts. The wicked. Meaning not a one of them will get through if we are able to use the shield of faith. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Basically, the only offensive weapon that he talks about. Everything else is defensive. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I mean, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder. Amen? And we've got that power. We've got the power in the name of Jesus, as the song says. But then in verse number 18, he reminds them, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So basically, in a nutshell, what I received out of that is that I don't face Satan alone. I don't face sickness alone. I don't face troubles alone. I'm born again. Spirit of the Lord lives within me. He has equipped me. He's taught me how to lean on him. He's taught me how to trust in him. But now I think as we mature in Christ, maturing in Christ doesn't mean you're any more saved, by the way. No. You know, the 11th hour got just as much as the one who had been in there all day. There was a reason Jesus used that parable, by the way. No, being a mature Christian doesn't mean you're more saved or more holy than anything. It just means that you're more mature. You've faced more battles. You've come through and experienced more victory. So therefore, you should be a light and an example for the younger Christian. But by being a mature Christian, we need to learn to stand. We need to learn to stand and not give up so easily. We need to learn to stand and not get so bent out of shape so easily. Where did that phrase come from? Have you ever seen anybody just get completely bent out of shape? I think it's emotionally, right? Because I don't think when we get mad, we go, oh, my Lord, he's bent out of shape. Better leave him alone. But evidently it came from somewhere, bent out of shape. But we shouldn't be that way. We should be able to stand. And again, by standing, the Amplified Version says, not retreating or not giving ground. Don't ever give ground to Satan because he's never satisfied. Give him an inch, he'll want a mile. So we need to learn to stand. And stand firm. Stand fully equipped in the armor that the Lord himself has prepared for us. Do you love Jesus? I want to tell you, he loves you. He loves you a lot. God bless you. Amen. I'm excited about 2023. It's kind of a new start. It's kind of a reprogramming, if you will, and kind of refocusing. The year is gone. Ain't a thing in the world you can do about yesterday. There ain't a thing in the world you can really do about tomorrow, but you can do whatever it is day by day. Amen. And I want a purpose in my life to stand for Jesus. Amen. I think Sister Lisa sings a song, "Let the World Go By, I'll Stand for Jesus." Amen. Would you stand tonight? All right. God bless you. We love you. I know we've already had prayer for Sister Linda. How many believes that God's going to touch her and regulate that blood pressure? Amen. He's able to do all things. But if you have a need tonight, please bring it to the altar and we'll pray for you. Pray with you if you have a need tonight or any situation that you might want prayer for. Because we got a God that specializes in all walks of life. He's a specialist in the medical field. He's a specialist in the... If you need psychiatric help, like I have sometimes, I have to go to the Lord for my psyche. He said, Lord, just kind of straighten me out every once in a while. You know what? He's very understanding. And sometimes he just kind of has a calming way about us. And sometimes, most of the time, he sends me straight to the Bible and so that I can read the Word of God. All right, if no one has a prayer request, then Brother Jim, come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Hope to see you Sunday. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord.
Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, so good to see y'all this evening. Just love the Lord, love His Word, love an opportunity we have to gather, anytime we have to gather in the house of the Lord. Also want to invite y'all for Sunday school. If you're not involved, this would be the perfect time to crank up Sunday school. We've got plenty of room for you, and we'd love to invite you. I'm giving you a personal request. I want to thank y'all for watching online, those that are there. If you need prayer, as always, please put it in the comment section. We will pray with you. And it's not us, because we're praying in the name of Jesus. It's all about Him. Praise God. So all hearts and minds are clear. Will y'all be careful going home? Have a wonderful rest of the week. I don't think it's been announced. Haven't. When it's ready, there will be a new calendar done this year that would have not only events, but also announcements and anything else involved, and we're really excited about that. And it's actually a ministry. Get the word out and let folks know. So we're looking forward to it. You expect it with anticipation. Pray for the ones involved in it. Uh-huh. I'm sure we got some techies. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, then with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to gather together in your house and in your name. But most of all, dear Lord, for your word, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we start out this new season, Lord, may we dedicate everything that we have and everything that we are to you. Lord, may we receive you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's anyone that hears this prayer or heard this service tonight that has not given their life to you, Lord, I pray for them now. Dear Lord, I ask for the word that has come forth, Lord, for them to find an altar of repentance. And the Lord is a wonderful life. It's all the joy and peace that only you can provide. And the Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a wonderful rest of your week.